Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Beautiful sunny day here in Middle Tennessee. Hope everybody's having a great start to your hump day. Darren McFarlane, that's me, down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick over in East Nashville. He's back from the Nuga. Chase McCabe out on the west side. That's at least what I'm hearing through the grapevine in Bellevue.
That's true. Can't confirm.
And Elijah Campbell back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Willie, heartbreak city, but your daughter should keep her chin up, her head held high, and what a season they had.
Yeah, it was. It's always tough, you know, that last game. As they always say, only one team wins their last game in whatever you're going for. But we got some heavy hearts for sure. The USN Tigers. It was a tremendous game. Beautiful sunset, Chattanooga, Notre Dame rematch from last year. It goes to overtime. Chattanooga wins. Notre Dame wins 2-1. But we're proud of the girls. You know, they did a fantastic job, you know, dealing with all of the stuff that everybody's had to deal with. And they got to play, you know. They got to play and complete the season, which was an achievement. And not everybody was able to do that for different reasons all across the country. So we're thankful for that. A lot of life lessons, you know, to take from it going forward for everybody.
How does overtime work in that situation?
You play 2 10-minute periods.
Okay. And then what?
And then if you're still tied, you go to penalty kicks.
So you do go to penalty shots. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they scored in the first overtime on an amazing shot. You got to tip your hat. Then in the second overtime, our team hit the crossbar on a shot. It was just, you know, it was one of those games where you go back and so many plays. There were so many great plays that were almost, you know. So you look at the score 2-1, you're like, oh, 2-1. But within the game, there were so many great highlights. So
you keep playing? You said second overtime. So you keep playing the goal is scored?
Yeah, you could score 3 goals.
Oh, so it doesn't stop.
You play the 2 10-minute periods.
Oh, okay, no matter what.
It's not sudden death like hockey. It's not the game ends.
Huh.
So if you're still tied, like you could score 2 and
we could
score 2.
Have you seen somebody score a goal in overtime and then lose? Score the first goal in overtime and then lose?
I'm sure it's happened. I don't think I've seen it. In the World Cup, that's how they do it.
I can't remember in, you know, my days of watching high school soccer if I've seen that.
Interesting. Speaking of soccer, Nashville SC got a nice win.
Yeah, good for them.
They opened up a can last night. It was fun. And it was my first time being at Nissan Stadium, and there were fans, and it was awesome.
It was their second game.
Correct.
First time you've been there.
Yeah, because the night that they had fans for the first time, I did a draft show, NHL draft show with Justin Bradford, so I wasn't at that game. And so it was cool, and, you know, I'm mixing everything, and there are crowd mics, and you're hearing clapping and noisemakers and people cheering, and it was just it was cool. Because it was, you know, I was like, man, this is the first time since March that I have been in an arena or stadium with fans. So it was cool. Nashville SC played a tremendous game. They got, you know, they scored 3 goals. And Jander Cadiz, the new player that they acquired, you know, a month or so ago. He had made his debut in the last game on the road. He's coming in, you know, late in the game in the second half. But last night was his home debut, and within 5 minutes, he's finding the back of the net, and it was an awesome goal. The crowd went nuts. I believe I didn't get an official attendance announcement, but I think it was around 3,000 that were in the stands last night. And I made sure to make a mental note. I was watching. People had their masks on. They were socially distant. So good job by you, Nashville SC fans.
Well, if you can't socially distance 3,000 people at Nissan Stadium, then we need to have a whole discussion about that.
I know.
We would spend a whole show on that. If you can't socially distance with 3,000 people in Nissan Stadium, I mean, come on. That should go without saying.
I agree. I'm just reporting, Darren.
By the way, congratulations not only on their win, but it's the first time they've won consecutive matches since they've been an MLS team. So, you know, I know it's their first year, but it's the first time they've strung together back-to-back wins and the first time they've strung together more than a goal, right? They beat Houston Dynamo 3-1 and then won 3-0 last night. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, yep. So it's the first time they've done that, where they've scored multiple goals in consecutive games. So a lot of firsts last night.
Yeah, it was good, and they seem to be owning FC Dallas right now. I mean, they've I think two wins and a draw against them, and there's one more match that they have that is so it's kind of confusing. This was a regular season match. The one that's going to be coming up in a couple weeks is actually the rescheduled match from the MLS is back. Remember, they were going to do a three-game series with FC Dallas because they both left Orlando, and they had to reschedule the third and final meeting of the MLS is back. So that will take place in a couple weeks here at Nissan Stadium. So they've done well against FC Dallas.
So congratulations to Nashville SC. They'll be back at it Friday night on the pitch as they take on the New England Revolution, and that will be again at Nissan Stadium at 7:30 p.m. Game one of the World Series last night goes to Clayton Kershaw and Mookie Betts and the L.A. Dodgers, 8-3 as they open things up on the Rays. Mookie Betts was fantastic, but they started with some runs in the fourth, and then they just kept piling on runs. I think they really opened it up in the fifth. That's when you kind of knew the game was in, after Tampa had countered with a run and cut it to 2-1, and then L.A. just kind of opened it up, and they didn't look back. And they were very good. Mookie Betts had a couple hits, including a home run. They spent a lot of time focusing on Mookie Betts on the broadcast. I noticed what I watched. I didn't watch it from start to finish. I watched a good portion. I watched the good stuff. I watched, like, innings 4 through 8. So that was the good stuff in my mind. But they talked about him a lot. I don't know how Red Sox Nation feels today watching this, but they certainly talked about him. Yeah, they're getting destroyed, which rightfully so.
Well, Mookie Betts was the guy that jump-started everything. It was a 2-1 game in the fifth inning. He draws the leadoff walk and then proceeds to steal second and then steal third and then make a great base-running play to score on a play. We talked yesterday to Kurt Casale about the contact play, right, where you're making up your mind. If the ball's on the ground, you're going. And I'm here to tell you that Yandy Diaz made a really nice play and throw home, and he's probably going to get a good portion of base runners with the play he made, but not Mookie Betts. You know, I think he's the best base runner in the game. He's one of the best base runners I think I've ever seen. So
he's the best right fielder in the game. He's the best base runner in the game. I mean, he's a lot of the best in the game.
Yeah, it's really him and Mike Trout when you get down to it, but the different ways he can beat you, you have to watch and watch closely. You can't just look at the stats. But what we've seen, right, in watching these last four games, he's made great plays in so many different facets that have helped his team win. And that was a great jump start last night. And once they got cranking, right, then they started to blow it open. And that was vintage Dodgers there. So we'll see if the Rays can bounce back tonight.
I just don't know. I just think the Dodgers are too hot, too good right now.
Well, Kershaw, I was really glad for him, right? Because I hate seeing a guy that great continue to have the label of why doesn't he do well in the postseason? Well, he got some run support last night and he pitched really, really well. So that was good for him. But remember, tonight is the bullpen game for the Dodgers, right? They're going to hit a lot of different people thrown in there. Who knows? That's a little different animal. It's a long series. I do think Tampa will be very competitive in the series. I don't know if I agree with Kurt that they'll win it. Kurt went out on a limb and said they're going to win, and they're clearly an underdog because, as you see, their lineup just isn't as deep and isn't as layered as the Dodgers. They don't have the Mookie Bettses. They don't have the guys who just get on base and make things happen. They're kind of all or nothing with their offense, right? They hit home runs, but they strike out a ton. The Dodgers put the ball in play a lot better than the Rays.
I just think it's their year. It's kind of like the Lightning. You know, they've been beat up in the press because they can't knock it down. They're the favorites every year, it seems like, and they just keep adding and adding, and they're loaded. Their lineup top to bottom is loaded, and they can't finish, and they've been hearing that stuff. And then you add a guy like Mookie Betts, and I'm certainly not going to compare that to, you know, the Lightning adding a Maroon or anybody, because, you know, give me a break, the gap between Betts and guys like that. But they have found the ultimate guy, the ultimate piece to kind of give them the push to the finish line. And I just don't believe for a minute that Tampa's going to win. I think it's going to be over quick. It's going to be in five. I think the Dodgers are going to take care of business, and they're just the better team. They've been getting close, and they haven't been able to finish. They've heard it for years. They've been called a lot of names like underachievers and chokers and everything else, and, you know, that tends to motivate people. And I think they're highly motivated. And then, like I said, when you get the ultimate piece to add to your roster that's already loaded, think about it. You're basically the favorite every year, and then you add a Mookie Betts. You know, to me, it's good night, Irene. I think, you know, it's nothing against the Rays. The Dodgers are just the better team, and I just think they're going to win. And like I said, I think it's going to be quick. I think it's probably going to be in five, and who knows? I would be shocked if the Dodgers swept. I don't think they will, but I'd say Dodgers in five, and I think they're going to finally knock it down. And Mookie Betts will be that missing ingredient, and then it'll be even worse for the folks in Red Sox Nation because they'll get piled on even more again when the Dodgers win it.
They have financial flexibility, though.
Well, that's great.
Oh, that's so important.
That's awesome.
That is important.
There's a handful of the top players in the league, and he's on that hand. So great, you give up that to have financial flexibility. I mean, that's like Bill O'Brien saying, but yeah, hey, we're not cap strapped anymore. We traded Hopkins away. Yeah, well, that's great. Now what do you got?
Boston Red Sox.
Oh, by the way, a 1-4 team is what you got in Houston, and he's fired. I mean, great. That's just not going to work. That is not going to ease the pain of that fan base. They are not going to see it that way. When a show like this has been saying for years, Boston, what are you doing?
And the key is years, right? When he was first eligible for arbitration, I don't know why the Red Sox didn't see what so many saw, including us. Why wouldn't you lock him up way before? That's where they missed the boat.
I don't think that's emphasized arbitration.
They could have had him for way less.
Yes.
They could have had him for maybe $100 million less had they just made the commitment early and said, this is somebody special. We need to jump on this. Now, maybe Mookie wouldn't have taken the deal, but I think I'm pretty sure that there was a price that would have been fair.
Remember, we're talking about
three or four years ago.
After he was winning an MVP and, you know, gold glove after gold glove.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about years ago whenever he was making, you know, $700,000 or whatever his salary was. You know, and then he got his first, what, his first big arbitration win was what, 10 mil? So once they got to that 10 million, that was his first big giant leap. 1 year, 10 million. That's when they should have been putting all their focus on long-term deal right there. That was his first big payday. That's when they should have been working, and they didn't do it. They just kept going to arbitration.
I think it was after the 2016 season and then the 2017 season, before this was before he was the MVP, right? Those were the 2 years where it was pretty clear you had something special, but they kept going to arbitration. It just made no sense to me at all. They had, like you said, Darren, they had years to figure it out. And even if they waited to the last minute, in other words, if they kept him this year and just waited out, that would have been better than the alternative, which was let's get something for him. Because at the end of the day, they really didn't get that much.
Willie, as much as I would like to sit here and pound on the Red Sox for not signing Mookie, we must break. We've got former Predator Mike Fisher in the on-deck circle. We'll talk to Fish next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, SVP. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this beautiful Wednesday morning. Darren McFarland, that's me, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe. We've got a loaded show today, and it's going to start with former Predators captain Mike Fisher. He's got his second annual Catching Deer's Celebrity Clay Shoot, and Mike is now on the line with us. Mike, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. I want to ask you right out of the gates, just because I'm not the outdoorsy type. My version of being outdoors is renting a million-dollar cabin, log cabin in Gatlinburg in the Smoky Mountains and staying in that. That's me roughing it in the woods. Yeah. So now you know where I stand. I used to see you wear the, you know, traveling in the playoffs with you guys, and you'd wear these Catching Deer's, you know, your hats. I didn't know. For people out there that don't know, you wear them all the time. What, for the people that aren't outdoorsy types like me, what is, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's company. I started with my brother and some buddies, and we do apparel kind of in the hunting space. We also do have some, you know, content and videos, and we try and encourage, you know, people in their faith as well. But we kind of say our slogan is, you know, we take our hunting seriously but ourselves lightly, and, you know, we try to make people laugh, and we try to, you know, sell good hats and outerwear and apparel, and it's been. And also for me, because I, you know, when I retired, I've always loved the outdoors, and so now all my hunting trips, I get to call it work, so it's easier to sell to my wife when I'm leaving. Oh, honey, I got to go work. Meanwhile, it's just a hunting trip, but technically it's work. So
that's smart.
It's been fun. It's you know, we've really enjoyed it. It kind of just came about as a mistake, the name, which we've all heard as hunters, but. Our buddy that is a partner came into hunt camp and said, y'all catch any deers? And we just obviously grilled him the whole time. And he got into hunting after that and understood quickly that that's not how you pronounce it. But we just kind of used that play on words to start our company. And we weren't really planning to, but that's how it kind of came about.
So. I love that story because I actually happen to know that individual. I've played hoops with him for a long time. He's a very good player, by the way. But it just... If you know him, it makes it even more funny, but it's a great slogan.
Well, it's catchy, right? You remember, like, it caught my – the first time I saw you wear it, it stuck because it's different, right? I mean, you don't forget something like that. So, hey, it worked. If that's what you're looking for, I remembered it the first time I saw you wear that hat, and I never forgot it.
No, that's good.
Were you always the outdoorsy? I mean, obviously you grew up playing hockey your whole life as a kid. When did you have an appreciation for the outdoors?
I would say from birth.
Really?
Just ever since I was a kid. I remember some of my greatest memories were with I had a little Springer Spaniel. We lived out in the country, and after school, if I didn't have hockey, I'd grab my little BB gun. Take my dog, and I was a young age, and I just hit the woods and just walk and look for stuff and shoot stuff I probably shouldn't at that age, but it's just I've always had a passion for it. And you know, I tell people sometimes, like, I played hockey so that I could hunt, you know, after. But you know, I love hockey's a passion, but equally maybe more is the outdoors for me. So
you can't lose that competitive spirit, can you? So you guys that are wired like you, professional athletes, you just that is probably in my talks with former, you know, professional athletes over the years, trying to find that next thing in life to still, you know, try to do something with that competitive spirit. Is that something that does it for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a passion, and you know, in hunting, I don't know if it's not the same competitiveness, obviously, as hockey, but you know, one of the things that you miss leaving the game, retiring, is the camaraderie within the room and the jokes and the pranks and the, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, at hunt camp, I to kind of keep it going with my buddies, I put in kind of like a little locker room where we all get together. We got name tags. It looks kind of like a little mini hockey locker room. So we could, you know, so then, you know, it just kind of keeps that feel. And the hunt camp now is like the hockey locker room, where it's a little cleaner, but it's, you know, we just joke around, we laugh, we, you know, we have a great time. And that's part of why I love hunting too. It's outdoors, and that's how I connect, you know, my walk with the Lord, but it's also, it's great fellowship with my brothers. You know, it's a conduit to relationships and good time. I take my boys up to the hunt camp, and we don't even really, we'll go up for a weekend. We did recently. We didn't even hunt. We just, my little ones just loved hanging out with friends that are there that may be hunting, and they like sleeping in the bunks, and you know, that's kind of the whole, you know, around good people. So that's why I love it. So
that's great.
The only thing the hunt camp's missing is partner, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's true. He is missed for sure. He probably would go up there.
Oh, he would go, Mike. He would absolutely go.
We know
I can answer for him. He will go. He called me yesterday. He will go. He's looking for something to do. He's bored out of his mind. He misses everybody. So we all miss him. Sports is a funny thing because, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, they have this historical regular season the previous year, and they get ousted in the first round. They get swept by Columbus, and, you know, their redemption was ultimately coming back and winning it all this year in the bubble. I think the L.A. Dodgers are going to do the same thing. This is just how I believe it. They've been beat up by, you know, people saying you can't finish. You're the favorites. And so that plays in. The Predators have had this incredible run, as you know, in this market. And you know, they've been on top of the world, and it's been a love fest, and everything has been great. And sold out venues and everybody going crazy. But now they've been knocked down a peg or two. Take us through when you've been knocked down, because everybody gets knocked down in life, whether it's sports or whatever you do, right? Life tends to knock you down a peg or two, and then you have to come back. What does that do for a room? What does that do for the mentality when things aren't going your way and it's no longer a love fest?
Well, I think it's, you know, no one likes to have seasons, you know, and you're judged based on certain things. But also, you know, that's what builds your room and your character and resiliency that we all talk about that are key. And all these teams that have won, they've gone through that. And they, you know, I look at 2017 when we went to the Cup final. I know we didn't win, but we kind of struggled. You know, we finished 16 seed and no one gave us a chance. But we struggled through that regular season to finally, you know, get on fire. And then we, you know, we went all the way. But that's all it takes. You know, it just takes some good bounces and some good, you know, at the right time getting hot. And the thing about hockey that I love is anyone can win any year. But it's staying the course. You know, Nashville's had a good team for a long time, and I feel like it's just a matter of time. You know, they keep tweaking the roster, which you have to every year, but the core is strong. They're in their prime, and it's just when you can be good for that long, I think it's just a matter of time. So, but you know, there's so many good teams. It's hard, but that's why hockey is, I mean, it's such a great sport because it's a grind, and but it's rewarding when you do win. So
we're talking about the former Predator captain Mike Fisher. The Catch and Deers Mike Fisher Celebrity Clay Shoot, presented by Cooper Steel, is coming up October the 27th at 8 a.m. over at the Nashville Gun Club. And the first one was last year. It was a huge hit. So, Mike, I know everybody that was there last year wants to come back and will be back this year. What are some of the things you guys have done after learning what it was like to put that on last year?
Well, we're going to do a lot of the same as last year because, you know, everyone had a great time. You know, not everyone. I know some of the celebrities that come hadn't shot really much at all. And those
that's true. You might need some ice bags. Lindsay Rally said she had a bruise on her arm for a couple of weeks after that.
Yeah, it'll get you for sure. It's a lot of shooting. I think we shot 100 times last year, and so it'll add up for sure. But it's you know, it's outdoors, so it's a perfect venue for, you know, social distancing and you know, just, you know, making noise and having fun. And yeah, we got it's going to be at the Nashville Gun Club, I think you mentioned, and we got some great sponsors that have stepped up, and Cooper Steel, Kelly Construction, Fifth Third Bank, Edge Tech, and they're all stepping up. And most importantly, last year we were able to give away you know, $80,000, which is awesome. In a year that, you know, everyone knows 2020, we had the tornadoes, and then we had the pandemic, and it's just been some of these organizations, ministries and such are hurting, and, you know, because businesses are, so it came at a timely time, and I can't thank the sponsors and people that were involved last year, people that have stepped up and are going to be involved this year. It's all because of them that we're able to, the fun part is, you know, giving the money away, and it's all because of those people and sponsors and people who want to be a part of it. And obviously it's a great time, and it'll be fun this year too.
Well, that's well said. My wife Erin works in a nonprofit, and all those organizations have had to be creative, and they've had to work extra hard to stay going. A couple of them that you benefit, Mike, Rocket Town, Nashville Inner City Ministry, Room at the Inn is one that you've been involved with for a long time, and those, I know how appreciative those organizations are.
Yeah, they do some great work. Recently, we were able to give some money to Cottage Cove as well, and a lot of them, you know, had lost support, like I mentioned, and it came at times that, you know, when they needed the most because of, you know, people and all of these are mostly, you know, most of these are downtown, and just with everything that happened, and people are struggling, and you know, we're able to help collectively and be a part of some of these great great ministries and organizations and nonprofits, and yeah, so that's the fun part, to be able to help in a time that people need it, and that's what I love about Nashville is and the Preds Foundation. They put this on. They do such a good job. There's, you know, Rebecca and her team with the foundation. You know, they just work tirelessly and to put these events on, and they do an awesome job. And I'm just happy to be part of it and have some fun with them and help out. So.
Mike, I want to ask you sort of a philosophical question. You were talking about that just the right mix that a team needs to have. There's some guys that you played with for a good while that are moving on to other situations. The Predators theme was more matching a little more will with the skill, that balance you're looking for. You kind of had that balance as a player. But what do you think of just the idea of sometimes you bring in guys that aren't going to score as many goals, but they can help you win in other ways?
Yeah, and that's the, you know, that's what David has done a good job of, and trying to find that mix, and it's not always easy. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But I think trying to find good people that, you know, put in the work, and that, you know, I look at, for me, obviously off the ice is important, and you know, what I respect most about the Predators too is they've given people like Watson and Rich Klune chances, you know, and they've been able to make great choices and help those people. I love that. I love those stories of people overcoming things. And but back to more of your question is, you know, I think there's one of the things I like about hockey the most is you can't win, you know, in basketball. You can win with a couple guys, but in hockey, you need certain people that are talented in certain different areas, whether it be special teams and grinding it out, guys that are playing third, fourth line that can chip in. And you're right, it's not always just about those stats. And one of the things that, you know, I think those players on those lines is that that work is contagious for lots of different people, and they can be leaders. And in hockey, you can have a leader. It doesn't have to be your best player, which in the, you know, Predators instance it is, because Roman, there's no one like him in the game, and he's awesome, and the guys love him. He's a great leader. But there's also people that down the line that can lead in different ways through energy and passion, and that's what I think, you know, helps teams win, and I think David's trying to do this summer as well. So,
talking to Mike Fisher, former Predators captain, here with us, and of course his second annual celebrity clay shoot coming up on Tuesday, October 27th at the Nashville Gun Club. So, Mike, you brought up Roman, and we were all, of course, excited for him to win the Norris Trophy, the first time that a Preds defenseman has won that award. When you heard that news, what did you think? I mean, obviously, you talked about his leadership, but it really showed out this year on the ice for him to get that award.
Yeah, he had an unbelievable year. Watching him, and I watching him this year was, you know, awesome. You know how dominant he is, and I was obviously rooting for him. I really believed he deserved to win it. Whether he did or not, I wasn't sure if he gets enough respect, you know, through media and people voting. But I really believe they got it right, because he can. You know, he can defend, he can, you know, offensively he's unbelievable. He does everything really, really well. So they got it right, and I was really happy for him. Roman's, as we all know, he's a great, you know, he's a great player, and he can do it all. But he's such a good person too. And, you know, you love seeing people like that succeed. He's humble, and it's just awesome to see him get that credit that he really deserves. But he doesn't always seek out, and that was cool to see him get it. So,
when you got here, you know, I always break up the organization into different eras, and when you got here, that was kind of the beginning of another era of not just making the playoffs, but winning playoff series. And, you know, you guys, of course, went to the Stanley Cup final, but there was some of that, oh, okay, the Predators, you didn't get a lot of national notoriety. How did you deal with that personally? Did that ever bother you? Did it bother the guys in the room that, you know, you maybe weren't getting talked about like some of the other teams?
Well, I was never up for any of those awards where sometimes it matters, so personally, but sometimes, like, you know, you see, you know, Pekka and Shea and some of those guys that you feel like really kind of deserved it, maybe they didn't get the credit at times, which as a teammate, you're like, come on. But I don't see it as much anymore with, you know, some of the success that the organization has had, and people love watching games here, and, you know, there's more televised games recently, which helps too. So I think it's gotten so much better. And, but yeah, there's arguments, for sure to be had, but, I think the organization's come a long way, and it's good to see recently the people are getting the credit they deserve, and league-wide. So,
I think the last time we talked to you was right at the beginning of all of this. So how has the extra time with the family been? I mean, are the boys skating? Are they singing? You know, what's it been like during all of this?
Well, we put Isaiah, he was in skating, I think last fall, and he's not overly interested right now, which may change, but I think Jacob, our youngest, he's got a hockey stick in his hand almost every day, so he's not two yet. I think he'll be a little athlete, but we've been here in our farm, and Isaiah, actually, you speak of singing, he is on Carrie's Christmas record. He does a little feature there, a little drummer boy's a song.
Oh, nice.
And so it's pretty cool. The song is awesome. So he might be our little singer, but we've been mostly here at the farm, and been doing some hunting trips here and there, and yeah, everything's been pretty good. So
maybe one day mommy will need a backup singer, you know? You never know.
That's right, yeah. It won't be me.
Hey, you sang with Garth Brooks, though. That's pretty cool.
That's true. Not many people can say that.
No, you're right about that. Hey, thanks for everything you do in the community. Thanks for always, you know, being a class act and contributing to our community. Best of luck for the second annual clay shoot, celebrity clay shoot. What is it, next Tuesday, right? If
yep,
people want to get involved, Mike, in any way, whether they just want to contribute or be a part of it, how do they do so?
Yeah, naturalpredators.com/clay shoot. There are a couple teams, I think, still open, so people can sign up, put a team of four in. You'll be able to shoot with a celebrity. And, so, yeah, we'd love – we get some openings that people can hit the naturalpredators.com/clay shoot. And thank you guys for talking about it and all you guys do too. You guys really appreciate you guys too. So thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Good luck. And we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. See you guys. Thank you.
All right. That is former Predators captain Mike Fisher, his second annual Catching Deers, Mike Fisher Celebrity Clay Shoot. That'll be next Tuesday. You just heard it. There's still some spots available if you would like to jump in and be a part of this. It's next Tuesday, and he raises a lot of good money. Of course, it's benefiting the Predators Foundation, and he helps so many people in this community. And if you'd like to be a part of that and be teamed up with a celebrity, you need to jump in there. Go to NashvillePredators.com for more information. We will come back and wrap up the first hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Always good to talk to Mike Fisher here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Hope some people get involved in his celebrity clay shoot next Tuesday. You don't have to be the outdoorsy type. I'm not. But if you want to help, fun. Chase is not. Willie's not. The three of us are not the outdoorsy type, like I said.
They don't want to hand me a gun. That'd be dangerous for everyone.
My version of roughing it is getting a $1 million cabin, renting it in the Smoky Mountains in Gatlinburg and staying in that. That's my version of roughing it in the woods. So I'm definitely not your outdoorsy type. But if you'd like to help, you know, contribute, help our community and have fun next Tuesday, get involved. Let's talk about this Predators team. And I did the 6 o'clock hour with Ryan Porth on Preds Insiders on Monday night. And of course we talked a lot about this team and some of the moves that David Poile has made in the offseason. And I just want to get your all's take on what's happened to this point, because I told Ryan that I've had a lot of feedback, whether it's on social media or just big Predators fans who have texted me or called me, what have you. There seems to be a lot of concern. And I think Ryan was in the kind of the same boat. And what I've gathered in a lot of the concern is it's the unknown, right? And a lot of it's the unknown of not just new players coming in, but the unknown that clearly they're going to give some of these young guys that have been in the system an opportunity. And I understand that. And I told Ryan that on Monday night. Like, I get it. I understand apprehension with the fan base because they've, you know, it's been a while since, for people who have just moved in the last 4 or 5 years, you don't know young players coming up through the system and really, you know, that's what the Predators did all the time. They would have an infusion of youth year in and year out because they weren't out there buying the big name players, right, back in the day. And obviously this market has changed, and with the ownership group and spending the money and Sean Henry and his group and selling out every game, you know, things have changed. And so we're kind of used to winning press conferences and having big-name hockey players come in here through big trades, and it's just not been a typical offseason that we've seen in years past. So I understand that. But I also say this. Don't you want to at least – Shouldn't everybody deserve a chance? I mean, we've heard so much about Tolvanen. You've seen just a smidge of Trenin. They just re-signed. By the way, they just signed Rem Pitlick. He's been working hard. Don't you want to see what they have, as they say, down on the farm? Don't you want to give them a chance? I mean, this is how it works. I mean, you have to, they have to have a chance before you know what you have or you don't have. And so I said, I'm okay with everything. I do, because I'm not surprised by anything. Other than the Nick Bonino trade, I have literally been surprised by nothing they've done this offseason. Now, that's just me. They needed to get younger. They got younger. They needed to trim some fat. They trimmed fat. They needed to get tougher. They got tougher. So nothing David Poile has done has surprised me. Did I know that they were going to give some of these young guys an opportunity? Yeah. So, like I said, everything they've done to this point, I'm not surprised. So I'm okay with going into, even if there isn't one more big splash up David Poile's sleeve, I'm okay, as I said to Ryan on Monday night, I'm okay with this until I'm not okay with it, if that makes any sense.
Well, I'm okay with what they've done. I thought it was interesting perspective from Mike Fisher about how you go about balancing the right amount of skill with the right amount of those other ingredients that we have talked about a lot, especially if we watch, especially as we watch the playoffs, right? And what you have to see going forward is what will be the value of Brad Richardson, Nick Cousins, players like that. Will they help them win without scoring goals, without scoring a lot of goals, right? They're going to chip in. They have to chip in. You got to be able to chip in with a little bit of offense and score a key goal here and there. But those guys aren't going to score 30 goals. But you may not need to if the other guys do what they're capable of doing. If this allows the big name players, the guys are paying the big money to, if they do their job, then you will have enough offense. But that all being said, I still think there's a huge hole, and I don't want to say hole, but there's room to bring in one more guy who is in your top six.
And I'm not opposed to that.
It's pretty obvious, I think, that there's a need there if you're in a perfect world. Now, could it be filled by Philip Tomasino or Rem Pitlick or somebody like that? Yeah, I think if those guys jump in there and grab that, then that's great. But I still think there's room for those guys to work their way in and bring in one more guy, whether that's a free agent or a trade or something like that. I was looking at our buddy Dom Lucision, who I still don't know if I'm getting it 100% right how you pronounce his name from The Athletic, but he did an analysis of every team, and he's an analytics guy, right? And the Predators are about middle of the road. He has them a net loss of 0.8 wins. So not a big drop-off from last year's team, but last year's team was a fringe playoff team. We don't know if they would have made it or not. I like their chances of making it over 82 games. They lost the 3 out of 5, so we know what that team was. And he's got them slightly behind what they are, and that's on paper, right? But that doesn't factor in what you're going to get from the young players, Darren, which is your big thrust, right? That's your theme. Is what do you have in these guys? Are they ready? I mean, you can't know until you let them play. And then these other guys who they brought in with a specific goal of getting a little tougher, a little nastier, what effect does that have on this? And you can't really quantify it by analytics all the time.
So you hit on a couple of things, both of you did. I like the moves that they have made, because I think allowing the superstars to be the superstars, or however you want to word it, is going to be a little easier, because you're not – I mean, I think – and it's no one's fault really, but they kind of overloaded at times, and so you're having to spread it around. You can only score so many goals. And so if you have Craig Smith, who's a perennial 20 goal scorer, you know, he's taking some. Nick Bonino, we saw the year that he had. Austin Watson has had his, you know, his ups and downs. Now you're kind of focused on the top six of, okay, those are the guys that are really gonna bury it. You're still gonna have your Yarncroaks and your Sissons that are going to be able to contribute with their versatility, but it seems like things are evening out a little bit more of how they should, and you can get some of that grit and scoring if you need it from the bottom six. I love the Brad Richardson signing. I think he's not coming in here to score a ton of goals, but He's exactly what this team needs to add, you know, to add some grit, to add a little more strength at the bottom of the lineup. So I thought that that was really good. With all that said, I'm kind of with Willie. I think there's one more piece, and I hope it's Mike Hoffman. I still hope it's Mike Hoffman. Even if it's a one-year deal, I think that Mike Hoffman is that missing link to that second line, and then you're not putting as much pressure on Philip Tomasino. I think they want Philip Tomasino to make this roster. I saw they issued all the numbers yesterday. He's wearing 26. You issue that type of number to a guy that you want to make your roster. But I still think that this team is in a win now mode. The window is still open. The window is not closed shut like a lot of people think that it might be. And if you put Mike Hoffman on that second line with Matt Duchene and Ellie Tolvanen, I think it makes your lineup even stronger. I know Tyler Johnson's still out there, but Hoffman continues to be the target that I want.
I'm okay with another addition. I'm okay if this is it. You know that I wanted Hoffman more than I did not want Hall. I was against Taylor Hall. I understand that, you know, the one-year deal may have changed things. I certainly wouldn't have poo-pooed a one-year deal. I have said multiple times that they need to get out of the business for a while and let it breathe and take a rest on long, big-term, big contracts. And they have. And maybe the climate and, you know, financials for everybody in the league has made that a pretty easy decision. But, you know, there's just something else that we need to talk about. People, you know, athletes, as they know, especially ones that get paid, are held accountable. And fair or unfair, that's just the world we live in. And that's the world we live in on sports talk radio and on the internet with articles being written on The Athletic or The Tennessean or what have you, and fans calling in and texting in with us, and that's how it works. And, you know, when you say the scoring may be down, well, I would say right now there are guys on this team that have another level in them and are getting paid to have another level in them. And quite honestly, it's just time to start seeing that more frequently. And, you know, it's up to them. I mean, the team has done everything. They finally gave up. And I don't know why it didn't work for Kyle Turris. He's a great guy to deal with. He's a fantastic guy in the room. I don't know why it didn't work here. It was a fail. It didn't work. And they had to cut bait, and they had to move on. And so that's what they've done. They've moved on from Kyle Turris. But, you know, so there was one example. It didn't work out, and they weren't getting the production that they need from a guy like him. There are other guys on this team that need to produce over 82 games. Like, it's not about producing in just the playoffs, or it's not about just producing in the regular season, but not the other. It's not one or the other. There are guys that are getting paid that have more to give, in my opinion, and it's time for them to step up and give more. They're capable of it. They're getting paid to give more, and we've seen their body of work over time. They can give more. So, you know, it's also up to others to kind of pick it up too. You know, they have the talent. And for whatever reason, whether they were dealing with an injury or whatever, the system, there are no more excuses. Like, I just think everybody's got a little bit more to give. And I'm okay with everything they're doing, because I think that right now, tell me, whatever they do in the second line, if we're just being totally honest right now today, whatever they do on the second line, I ask you, could it honestly get any worse?
That's a fair point.
That's a good question.
It's a fair point. And
can it get lower? I don't think so.
No.
One dilemma, right, that we talked about a lot is their best line, their most consistent line all year was Grimaldi, Bonino, and Smith. But in doing so, and why wouldn't you play them, right? They were shutting the other team down, and they were scoring their share of goals. But in doing that, you took some ice time away from the first and the second line. So it's going to change the formula. And they felt like they needed a change formula. But that was one of the criticisms from the analytics people from the outside, and even some non-analytics people, right, that said, okay, if you want the production, you got to give the guys the extra ice time. if you give those guys the extra 2 or 3 minutes in a game, you will see them score more. Well, that's going to be put to the test this year, right? Because I think you're going to have even more of a distinction between the first and the second lines and then the third and the fourth lines. Whereas I think they tried to attack with balance and having four lines that could all chip in offensively. You see what I'm saying? The singers are going to sing, the dancers are going to dance, as Crispy likes to say.
Well, and I think one of those guys especially needs to be Forsberg. I mean, Forsberg should be a 40-goal scorer. I think he's capable of it. I think we all think he's capable of it. And you look at the last three seasons, he's played roughly the same amount of games. In 17-18, he had 67 games. He scored 26 goals. 64 games the next year, 28 goals. 63 because of the shortened season this year, 21 goals. It's not good enough. And I think if you have a Ryan Johansson that plays like he did in the playoffs, Victor Arvidsson that plays like he did in the playoffs, that's healthy, you keep that line together, I think you could see that out of Philip Forsberg. And now there's even more pressure on him to do that, which I kind of feel like he's the type of player that thrives under that type of pressure.
Well, we're going to find out, right? Because, Darren, as you said, there won't be any excuses now.
No, there's no more excuses.
You can't use the excuse of, well, I'm not playing as much. So they're going to get their chance to play, right?
Yeah, and he's 26, so, I mean, he's right there in the prime.
In the prime of his career. Look, there are several guys that it's just time. It's just time to take it to another level. And that's going to be up to them. It's not going to be up to a coach to get them motivated or whoever to get them motivated. It's up to them. It's up to them to bring it. Bring it for the course of a regular season and hopefully for the course of a long playoff run. But to me, there's just no more excuses. And I think it's time for certain guys on the roster that have been paid and have contracts and have nothing to worry about, it's time for them to take a step forward. It's time to see what the new guys that David Poile has brought in, what they're going to bring to the table. There's a whole lot more 40-grit sandpaper that I've asked for on this roster. Let's see how that translates. And let's see how the young guys translate. I want to see. I don't know who's the real deal and who's not, but I think it's time to find out. And there's no way we're going to know until they get an opportunity. And so we're going to find out what is Elli Tolvanen all about at the NHL level. What is Yakov Trenin all about at the NHL level? And anybody else that they decide that's in their system to give them a real shot to play night in and night out. What do they bring to the table? It's just time. And somebody is going to wow us. And somebody, one of the young guys, is probably we're going to go, oh, boy. That's just the nature of the beast. That's how it works. But let's find out, right? Let's see who fits into that category. I think we're going to be like, whoa, and probably, why weren't they playing earlier? You know, I mean, that could happen, and that hopefully that does happen. And then there's going to be somebody that's like, I don't know if it's going to happen or not. And that's every organization goes through this. But let's see. Let's go through it, and let's find out who is good enough to play at this level and who needs more time or who's just not going to be good enough. And like I said, that's just how it works. That's the nature of the beast in this business. We'll come back. We'll start the second hour with Richard Deitch from The Athletic. We'll talk to him next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.